The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 24. Jesus put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.' Then he left the crowd and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, dear crop of God, we've been dealing with an awful lot of nouns, all kinds of different titles. They're all nouns, and they all have meaning, and that's who we are. How many of you wear glasses? Oh, I see one there, a couple. Really? Contacts, huh? I was driving in today thinking, gosh, did I clean my glasses? And I can't tell. It doesn't seem like I did. But, you know, it gets bad and then finally you clean your glasses, right? Because what happens? You can't see through them, right? You start missing things. Of course, I'm at that age where the glasses help, kind of. Sometimes I take them off, I use old prescriptions, and I still have a problem. But make no mistake about it, all of you have lenses you're looking through, even if you don't have glasses. In fact, you have all kinds of lenses through which you try to figure out what you're looking at, what you're dealing with. Some of those lenses aren't very good. You need to get a new prescription. Some of them, they're so smudgy and blurry that you can't make out anything. Some of them are just so wrong, you need to throw them away. Lenses. What am I talking about? I'm talking about something more than just a pair of glasses or contacts. I'm talking about views, world views. I mean, you and I look at all kinds of things with all kinds of training. And what the Lord would have us learn to do more and more is to look at things with a biblical worldview. But boy, that's a complicated thing. I mean, it's amazing how I can be looking at something and I can think to myself, I'm not sure if people are seeing things the way that I'm seeing things. Happens all the time. More so, the older I get, the more I realize, man, what am I seeing? Maybe I'm the one that's wrong. I grew up in a place that was beautiful. Rocky Mountains, the Grand Tetons, front window of Mom and Dad's house. And I mean, gorgeous. And, you know, I saw God behind that. God made that. Although I started learning as I studied about the flood that all this beauty that I see is actually after the flood destroyed everything the way it was when God first made it. See those lenses? Do you look at geology that way? With a view through the flood of Noah where the water was above the highest mountain? You know, not everybody looks at geology that way. They don't have the same eyes that you have. I look at a little baby in the womb and I think that's a human being. Some people just call it a fetus that can be disposed of relatively easy. And I think, why would you want to do something like that? I can't see that. I mean, there's all kinds of ways you and I look at things, and we call that a developing biblical worldview. To be sure, there are places that even among Christians we don't see eye to eye because we don't have the same lenses to see what we're looking at. And it gets even more challenging when we talk with people that don't see the love of God. All they see is stuff. There are people that say, well, I've not seen ever a loving God. Well, thanks for your honesty, and all I see is a loving God. How can these views be so radically different? Well, today, in the parable of the tares and the wheat, Jesus gives us some lenses by which we can look through and grasp what's going on around us and to kind of get a bigger picture of the global picture of what's going on. And I dare suggest that this is among some of the harder things that Jesus has said. It's interesting. The disciples are hungry to find out. Tell us about that. I mean, he told other parables, right? But they really wanted to know about this one because it struck them to think of this global field where good crops have been sown and then there's a bunch of weeds. What in the world does that mean? And so Jesus explains to them the parable of the wheat and the tares. I would suggest that the Lord would have us begin to look at the world around us using these new sets of lenses to help us understand what's going on. Before we do that, or perhaps as we enter into that process, I mean, I don't know about you, but what I'm seeing isn't making a lot of sense. Are you seeing some of the stuff I'm seeing? Are you looking at some of the things that are happening like I'm looking at some of the things that are happening? I thought for sure, and I actually had to grab my little copy of the Constitution because I keep flip-flopping the First and the Second Amendment. Good grief, I thought I was a citizen. I keep flipping around, but I thought we had the right to assemble, peaceful assemble. It's okay to protest. It's okay to say what you think. But it just seems like as I look around, as I listen to what's going on, there's some hesitation to that. Are you seeing what I'm seeing? I mean, I get the protesting. But when that protesting becomes lawlessness, it's no different than a guy putting his knee down on a guy's neck. Oh, that's done under the color of the law, but that's still lawlessness. Are you seeing what I'm seeing? How many politicians are just playing the game? I'm almost had it with the Republicans and the Democrats. Both of them. Are they just career politicians taking care of themselves and the people that are their special interest? Or are they really caring about us, the citizens of our nation that are hurting? I mean, are you seeing what I'm seeing? It's fascinating. I hear all about race and everything. All I see are people. But I've been taught to look that way at people. Different lenses, different eyes. Are you seeing what I'm seeing? It hurts. It hurts The source of church trouble. Oh, that's another one. How many of you are used to seeing the church at 6565 Independence Parkway, Plano, Texas? Those lenses have got to go. Because a lot of church isn't making it here today, but are they any less the church tuning in online? The theological answer is no, Pastor. They're the church too. They're just scattered. Some of the church is on vacation. Is it okay for the church to go on vacation? Sure. Some of the church has some upcoming surgery. Some of the church has to deal with some challenges in life. And that's the church, right? But I'm hurting. I'm hurting these days. It's hard to watch anything. It's hard to see anything because it just troubles me deeply, deeply. You know, the source of church troubles, what's going on out there and how I'm processing it. These are troubles that are making an impact in my life. How about you? Amen? It's hard to see this stuff. When we're, as Christians, looking at things, thinking, well, can't we learn from this? Can't we solve this? Can't we talk and work through these things? Or why do everyone just seem to want to fight? Let's talk. Let's pray. No way, they say. And so the source of church troubles, all the weeds in your life and my life that just want to push and shove, just want to get what they want. And the devil is in the details. This is not an easy thing to grasp. And yet this is a truth that the Lord would want us to understand. We can't push this parable too far, but he does want us to understand the source of church troubles. I mean, we're trying to grow, we're trying to learn, we're trying to be all that God wants us to be in his field. And yet the weeds are pricking us, the weeds are crowding us, the weeds are choking us. And it's hard to be church in this day and this time. But what's the purpose? What's going on? What's happening? Well, Paul helps us understand. Let's read this together. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ in the image of God. You see, the devil's in the details. He's blinded them to the gospel. He's kept them from seeing. Isn't it interesting that the mind is meant to see and the devil blinds the mind? I mean, they're just doing what they do. They're just doing what comes natural to them. They're weeds being weeds. I mean, they're just doing what they do. And so it's okay to riot. It's okay to destroy things. It's okay to apply too much pressure because I'm the one in authority. It's okay to push and shove for political favor. That's just what weeds do. That's what it's about. And it hurts. It troubles. It troubles us deeply. There's a lot going on. And life was pretty challenging without all of this. But this is the way life is for us. And it's something that Jesus really wants us to understand. Because this is the truth. And these are the reasons why there's troubles in the church, in you, in me, in all who believe. Because God has made us his wheat field where there's a lot of weeds in the details that are hurting us. And the devil is in the details. He knows what he needs to do. And he does it. It's interesting in the story, the devil sows and runs away. And that's what he does. To raise up trouble somewhere else for the church to deal with. But we have to be careful here. The danger of becoming self-righteous, not a good title, is ever so close. So we have to understand what our true nature was before the gospel got through and was active in our lives. Here's how Peter says it. I'd like to read this to you. Lots of nouns, lots of new ways to greet you. I've lost count of what we've done the last couple of weeks, but there's a lot of cool names for you. But this really hits it out of the park. But you are a chosen race. How about that? In the name of Jesus, dear chosen race. Oh, I just can't wait to hear the news, national news. Lutheran Church in Plano, Texas, the pastor greets them all as the chosen race. I mean, the race baiters will love that, won't they? They'll raise all kinds of sand. And frankly, I've had it with the race baiters too. The ones that are really the racists are the ones that want to throw the card all the time. They're the ones that want to punch all the buttons. Give me a break. I was taught to look at people through Christ. I mean, I've sung this song ever since I was a little kid. I used to sing it at a chapel all the time with the kids. Now I'm kind of nice. It's nice. Laura Lee picks the songs for chapel, but I used to sing this all the time up to my move here. How's it go? Red, brown, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in His sight. But should have sung that song today, Jody. Think about it. That's the truth. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. That's the truth. I mean, Darwinian evolution, thankfully, we don't hold to that, right? That's not the lens we look through everything with. But there's plenty who do. How much of what all this different kind of races and nations are about that come from that? Those lenses that are set. I mean, really, in the name of Jesus, dear chosen race. Because that's who we are in Christ. A royal priesthood. Oh, boy. You know, dads, husbands, you're the pastors of the home. How about those lenses to wear, to look at your home through, to understand your responsibility with? Precious. But all of us are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I mean, these are wonderful nouns. In the name of Jesus, dear holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You see, for some of us, we know what it's like to be weeds, to choke and prick and push and crowd out and do everything we can for ourselves because it's eat or be eaten. And for some of us, we've been in that wheat field so long, we don't know. We can't remember, although we still can see those things rise up in our sinful nature. Once you were not a people. I mean, talk about a noun. You were not a people. Now you're a people. In the name of Jesus, dear people. In the NIV, you know, the word special is in there. In the name of Jesus, dear special ones. All these are so cool. Now you are God's people. In the name of Jesus, dear God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you've received mercy. I mean, this is what's happened to us. We've turned from being weeds to wheat. And that's because of what God has done through His Son in your life and my life. And what a gift that is, that God would do that for us. And to us. And here's the real kicker. So I know it's not easy for us to look at ourselves with these nouns. It's not easy for us to think about being called a saint. It's not easy for us to be called little children. And we think, well, I guess I am. I need to depend on Jesus all the time. So we're learning to fit these lenses on and look at ourselves. But here's the good news. Who sees you this way all the time? Who never stops understanding you as chosen race, as royal priesthood, as holy nation, as God's people. God. You see, these are his lenses. This is how he looks at you because of what God has done for you through his son. This is how he sees you all the time. And we're doing a little better at maybe wearing some of these titles, understanding ourselves in these ways. It's still not easy. But the truth of the matter is, this is how God sees us. And his view of us in Christ is absolutely amazing, as his own. And, you know, this is an important thing for us to understand because, you know, like I said, you don't want to push parables too much, but there are some incredibly important truths in teachings. The angels will be the gatherers, and the weeds will be bound up, and the weeds will be burned. You think it's hot here? How many of you have been complaining about the heat? Yeah, I lived in Louisiana, so the heat's okay. Sometimes I think, well, this is pretty hot, but you think it's hot here. There will be plenty of weeds who will have nothing but the fires of hell to face. And so in this parable today, we hear the urgency of mission. Gosh, it's so tempting for you and for me and for congregations across our land around the world to just think that mission is an option. We'll get to it. We'll get to it. Without understanding how fragile this equation is for those who are weeds and what will happen when the end comes. And so God would have us understand that there are things that we can be about. But how do we do it? How do we see the mission? And I would suggest that we look at the mission with another set of lenses that really are so important. And that's with cross eyes. We need to look at ourselves. I mean, we're learning how to look at ourselves with cross eyes. I'm forgiven. I'm loved. I feel like I've sure fallen short today, but I know I'm loved and forgiven. And it's in the power of the gospel that you and I can live out the nouns we are in the verbs we do as his precious ones. But we need to look around. We need to look at what's going on. Those crazy people that drive us nuts on news, we need to just say a prayer for them right away. Oh boy, I need to pray for that race baiter. Or I need to say a prayer for that person who's just trying to frighten everybody with their news broadcasts. Or boy, that guy's a little over the top with you know, fill in the blank. We need to look at the people around us, the weeds, understanding that we were once weeds and that we can dabble in it just as much as the rest of them. But we need to look at them with cross eyes and say, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Right? We need to look with cross eyes, sharing mercy and love to the best that we can, knowing that won't always be very popular. We need to look at things with cross eyes, trying again, not giving up, not throwing in the towel, and doing our best to make a difference, understanding that it's not always going to be very popular. We look at the people around us, understanding their struggles, fear over the coronavirus, understanding that we need to just encourage them the best that we can, because we know that we need it as well. These are the lenses whereby we can look at what's going on around us when we think to ourselves, what in the world am I seeing here? And then saying, Lord, help me to look with your eyes at what's going on. And thank you for looking at me in the eyes of your son, Jesus, Father. But it's interesting. You know, I don't know. I've been looking at things with biblical lenses for a long time, but I'm fascinating on how, you know, you just get more lenses. You look at things differently. And I have to say that before this Sunday, I had not thought of heaven as a barn. I mean, check that view out. It's got to be one whale of a well-built and cool barn. But to think that we'll be all gathered together and brought into a barn. Wow, I know you don't want to push the metaphor of, you know, a parable is an expanded metaphor. Figurative, it's a trope. It's in the field of trope. Language, turn of a phrase. But it's fascinating. In Hollandale, Minnesota, where I started, in this rich peat soil country where they grew carrots that could be this thick around. They called them dicers. And onions and potatoes, and sometimes it would get to be cold pretty fast, and you wanted to get the crops in before it froze, because when it froze, they'd all burn, right? That's what frost does. That's what freezing does. It burns things. And now I'm just thinking about not the potato cellars. I'm thinking about barns. So my lenses with regard to heaven are incredibly multifaceted now. I have a lot of different views. I hope you do too. And I think about the potato cellars in southern Minnesota, and I'm thinking about the barns in North Dakota. And that's heaven. So what glasses do you need to take off and throw away? Maybe even stamp them with your foot, because they're skewing what you're looking at and they're no good for you. Take them off. And what has the gospel polished for you now in this encounter with the word, so that you can look a little bit more with grace and mercy, with courage, with conviction? What are you looking at now, like with brand new eyes? You're going, whoa. Then you're ready to face the sources of church troubles, understanding them more than just troubles. It took me many years to start realizing the challenges that churches were dealing with that I was going to help them through weren't just troubles. I started to realize, no, these are opportunities. These are opportunities. It wasn't always easy for me to look at those things as opportunities, and they're still a challenge at times. But for us as God's own, we are the agency through which God works to change lives from being weeds to wheat. Now, those are troubles we can handle as God's church, his people. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.